If there is any particular outstanding character of the days in which we live, it is certainly that of uncertainty. Uncertainty is stamped upon everything here. The Word of God has always declared, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." But how much more vividly pronounced this is today than ever before, in regards to that which concerns man in every realm of his society. In spite of the advances in medical science, for instance, sickness and death strike without warning in the home. In the community also, violence breaks in upon the unsuspecting, and no one is immune from the corrupting influences of sin that is being manifested in many, many different forms today. In the nations also, very quickly do strikes tie up the economy and threaten to bring irrecoverable loss and produce spiraling price increases. In the world at large also, wars and rumors of wars persist, with new areas of conflict emerging almost daily. Truly, as the Bible says, "Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow." You know this to be true also, my dear listening friend, as far as your own individual life is concerned. How suddenly is there a turn of events? But I'm not going to enlarge upon this today, that is, these uncertainties which you know all too well. I desire rather to bring before you that which is certain, that which is sure, that which you can know, that which you may count upon with full assurance. I have three scriptures in mind to bring before you. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 22. I read, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Full assurance of faith. Do you know what that is? Perhaps you might say, "Well, you can't believe anybody today. You can't believe what you read. You can hardly believe what you see. You can hardly have faith in anyone." Well, that may be largely true in regards to man. But my dear listening friend, there is such a thing as full assurance of faith. You can believe God, and you can trust what God has done. We cannot always trust what man does, but we can always trust what God does. Now, the full assurance of faith, which the apostle speaks of in this chapter, is based upon three solid pillars. I would bring them before you so that you may rest upon these pillars and also have full assurance of faith. Each of them starts with the letter W. It would be easy for you to remember. For instance, in verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, we read the words of the Savior, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God," by the which will we are sanctified. The will of God is the first pillar that is given to you to rest upon. It is God's will that you should be saved from your sins. It is God's will that you should not perish. Next pillar is found in verse 12, 13, and 14. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." These verses bring before us the work of Christ. We cannot trust what man does, but we can trust what Christ has done. The work that he accomplished at Calvary's cross has satisfied God's holy demands about the whole question of sin. And beloved friend, the work of Christ has finished the work necessary to save your soul. He came according to the will of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and that is the reason for Calvary, the awful place where Jesus gave himself for you and shed his blood that you might have your sins forgiven, that you might be cleansed and made fit for the holy presence of a holy God. The third pillar that he brings before our attention is found in verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." What a grand word that is. This is the witness of the Holy Ghost. In these three pillars, we have the whole work of the Trinity involved. It's the will of God that He sent His Son into the world for your salvation. It is according to the work of Christ that that has been accomplished, which will bring you the eternal redemption of your soul. It is the witness of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that you have in your hands, a witness that cannot be refuted. It stands today, clear, and it is for your acceptance. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God desires that you should have full assurance of faith in His will, in the work of His Son, and in the witness of the Spirit of God. It is there for you, dear friend. Faith is simply taking God at His word. This is what will give you full assurance of faith. You can believe God. And in fact, if you are to be saved, you must believe God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Do not listen to the dictates of your own heart. Do not listen to the mere opinions of men. But anchor your faith upon the unerring Word of God, on the will of God the Father, on the work of God the Son, and on the witness of God the Holy Spirit in this blessed book. Do you not desire to know that your sins are washed away? As far as the east is from the west, they'll never be remembered against you. This is possible for you. This is what God holds out for your acceptance by faith. And this is what gives you boldness to enter into His presence. And you draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The true heart implies that in your heart you believe yourself to be a sinner. In your heart you believe that Christ died for you. In your heart you believe the witness of the Spirit of God. Well, God grant that you might have this full assurance of faith, and you will, if you anchor your faith to the work of Christ. The second point that I wish to bring before you is found in Colossians chapter 2. I read, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The full assurance of understanding. How often we hear people say, "I cannot understand the Bible," or "I can't understand this." Well, there's a reason, first of all, for not understanding the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read that the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you are still a sinner in your sins, you are still a natural man. You've been born of natural parents. You need to be born of God. You need to be saved. When you are, you receive the Spirit of God, who gives you the ability to understand. We have no natural intelligence that is able to penetrate the wisdom of God and to understand His counsels and His purposes. But in His divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whom you receive the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, you have the capacity to understand all things. Full assurance of understanding. How good it is that the simple believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has an understanding which all the highest among men in education do not understand, who do not know Christ. For instance, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How wonderful to know that. Faith accepts God's testimony, and faith has an understanding which the unbeliever cannot have. We have full understanding, full assurance of understanding through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If any man does not know Christ, he does not have wisdom. If any man does not go to Christ, he cannot obtain knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge, all truth is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would today direct you, dear listening friend, to this blessed one, the Christ of God. The one who came into the world as the Son of God and gave himself at Calvary is now gone to the glory. And there he lives at the right hand of God. And he reveals himself to all who will open their hearts to him. All who will come in simple faith to him will find that he is the one in whom the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are to be found. And when you come to him, you will have full assurance of understanding. The next scripture that I wish to bring before you is back again in the Epistle to the Hebrews, this time in chapter 6. We read these words, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." The full assurance of hope. Sometimes we hear people say, well, you know, there's nothing more to live for. There certainly is nothing here. And how true that is. Just as there is absolutely no answer to man's problems in man, nor is there any answer to man's solutions for his problems and difficulties in man's work, there is absolutely no hope in all of man's promises. How vain and empty they are. But, beloved friend, there is such a thing as having full assurance of hope. God has spoken in his word of a hope that is sure, a hope that is steadfast. In the same passage, in the end of the chapter, the apostle directs our attention to this. He says that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is a hope that is sure. There is a hope that you can be certain of. What is that, you say? A hope of being with Christ in the glory forever. Your short span of life will soon come to an end. Every one of us is going to leave this scene. One day, perhaps sooner than you think, you'll be gone into eternity. Where will it be? Is it going to be a leap in the dark for you? It need not be. The Word of God holds out to you a sure hope. When the thief on the cross turned to the Lord in repentance, and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom," he acknowledged this Jesus who was dying on that cross for sin. He acknowledged him as the one who was his Lord. The Lord turned to him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The Lord fulfilled his promise. When the Lord dismissed his spirit and died and went to the Father, his body was put in the grave. That thief went into paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, dear friend, this is the hope that is held out to you, that if you will come to Christ, take him at his word, trust his work, and receive the knowledge and the wisdom from him, which he imparts when you believe on him through his Spirit, it is then that he gives you a sure hope. To be with Christ eternally in the glory is a hope that he holds out for everyone. He offers it to all men. He would desire that you today would come to him in all your darkness of doubt and uncertainty and turn to his blessed word and find that he has promised on a basis that is sure, an assurance, a certainty of hope. You may know, for instance, that you have eternal life through his word if you believe on the name of the Son of God, if you take him as your personal Savior, if you believe that he died for you and rose again, you shall be saved, and heaven shall be your home. In Isaiah chapter 32, we read these words in regards to this assurance. And it's not only for time. And don't forget that though you are a creature of time, you are headed for eternity. Yes, you are. There is an eternity before you, an eternity either in heaven or in hell. Our God has given in His Word that which will give you full assurance of faith if you will trust the work of His Son. Our God has given in His beloved Son through His Word and the power of the Spirit all the wisdom and knowledge that you might have, that you might have a full assurance of understanding, that you might know. Our God also has given in His Word, based upon the work of His Son and on the fact that He has gone to the glory to prepare a place for you, He has given you a full assurance of hope. This is based on the work of righteousness that He accomplished at Calvary. And the result is the work of righteousness shall be peace. Don't you desire peace? Peace you may have now. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace of God in the face of all the circumstances around you that are uncertain. Our God holds us out to you. He holds out to you also the effect of righteousness, which is quietness and assurance, now mind you, forever. Oh, how wonderful. God grant that today you might turn in simple faith to His revelation, that which He gives you to rest upon in His precious Word and to His beloved Son and through the work of Calvary, and you too will have peace, quietness, and assurance forever. And with the psalmist, if you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," you make Him your very own by simple faith, then you can say, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May God bless His word to you.